Hi, Donald.
Holy cow.
Did you Peloton?
I did, and it's like euphoric right now.
I know, you feel good, right?
It feels good, but it's also like scary. Like when you, I push my body, man. I got my heart rate up to 180 something. You know what I mean?
Oh, you have a heart rate monitor? Oh, you have an Apple Watch?
I have the heart rate monitor. And I got my heart rate up to 180 something. And I was like, how long can I sustain this? And I did it for like 2 minutes.
Good. You feel good, right?
Excuse me. My body's making noises.
Creaking.
It's like, it's not just creaking, like gas is coming out of me. Like all things are happening with my body.
Yeah.
Because of this, because of Peloton.
So who'd you use, Cody or somebody else?
Who do you think I use, Zach?
You're very loyal to Cody.
Because he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get me there, make me laugh,
yeah,
he but makes me work laugh. Really, 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 really hard.
I was thinking I mean? One of the cool things about a trainer that makes you laugh is that you forget that you're doing what you're doing.
No, I know like, what I'm. I know what the fuck I'm doing.
The whole idea of spinning. The whole idea of spinning that I like is that you kind of. It's kind of like dancing. You get lost in the music and you're pedaling as fast as you can. But you can kind of, even though sometimes it's really hard, you can kind of get lost in it a little bit. It's like a new idea, a way of exercising for me because I'm not like a guy who's doing like aerobics classes to and dance classes to music. And then all of a sudden, this guy's making me laugh. Like literally, when is someone like doing jokes and making you laugh on the bike? That's like a whole new way to exercise.
Yeah, because you look forward to it. And sometimes, and Cody, you know, sometimes he gets really serious on rides, and he doesn't necessarily, he doesn't joke around. And you sit there. It's like when Eddie Murphy said, you know, I did that record where I'm sitting at the piano, and everybody's like, oh, I wonder when he's gonna fart. And I'm like, yeah, well, am I going to fart? You know what I mean? It's like you're waiting for Cody to tell the joke. And if he doesn't, it's not necessarily disappointing because he's a really good motivator. Like, I've learned that there's a lot of people on this planet that can motivate a group of people to do things, right?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is one of them. He's done it for a really long time. You know, Pat Riley is one of them. Phil Jackson is one of them. Doc Rivers is one of them. There are a bunch of coaches that can do that, you know, that just have this ability to make it so that you just want to run through walls for them. It's a coach that does this usually. It's in football, basketball, usually in sports. When you find a trainer that can do that, because usually you're paying the trainer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving the trainer money. And the trainer's like, you know, you do this. And you're doing it because you're like, I'm paying you, so I need to go as hard as I possibly can go. Now, if you say, I'm paying you, but the trainer's also getting you to go even harder than you want to go, that's a great trainer. And Cody does mm-hmm. that. And yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. He does that. I'm looking at my heart rate and seeing it at 185, I usually would be like, I quit. Fuck it. This is too high. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I was like, fuck it. Let's see how far we can go. Let's go. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to die on the bike?
I got to tell you that it's like an antidepressant, the endorphins I'm getting off this bike. I like yesterday, I was like kind of skipping around. I just had such a pep in my step because I've been spinning every day this week. Hey, welcome to all our listeners. Hi, everybody. We missed you. Donald, didn't we miss them?
I always miss them. Hi, Joel. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Joel. Hi, Daniel. How are you guys?
How's it going, guys?
Spectacular. It's a great
day. Hi, guys.
Hi, Joelle. Why do you seem melancholic?
Moving is very stressful. I moved in 2 days, and I didn't bother to take off work because we just got back to work, and so everybody needs something. There's just a lot of things on my plate, and I'm just trying to keep it all moving in a good direction.
You're feeling overwhelmed, but can't you just focus on how excited you are to move into your new townhouse?
I am so effing excited. And
Joelle, you're going to have a bed.
Is it like Full House? Everywhere you, is that Full House? Everywhere you go. Was that, they lived in a townhouse, right? In San Francisco?
Yeah.
Somebody who needs you. You're lost out there and you're all alone. A light is waiting to carry you home.
So Joelle, when you're feeling overwhelmed, you just have to focus on how excited you are to have a new house.
Yes, I couldn't be more excited, and I'm trying to put all that positive energy forward, but you know, things still got to get edited and put in the bin and sent to people on time. And so, you know, it's a mix of feelings. It's a lot of emotion. I hear you.
Donald's still singing to score this.
I was trying to score your story.
By the way, I got to tell you guys and you listeners, I watched the best movie I saw this year last night.
What'd you see?
And I think it's not enough on the radar. Everybody needs to know about this
movie. What movie,
everybody
are
needs
you
to
talking
see it.
About?
You're not going to watch it, but these two will, mm-hmm. and our listeners might. It's called Sound of Metal.
Oh, so good.
Riz Ahmed, right, Joelle? Am I saying his name right?
Uh-huh, you are.
It's about, without any spoilers, because it would be in the trailer.
Oh, it's the dude from Star Wars, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Donald will know him by his character in
Bodhi.
Star Wars.
Bodhi from Star Wars.
The well, pilot. Bodhi from Star
Rogue
Wars
One.
Is...
Rogue One.
Bodhi from Star Wars is an amazing actor.
He's a
freaking You probably never saw Night Of, which was like one of the
Dude,
best
Dude, of course
miniseries.
I've seen Night Of. I saw him turn from sucker to freaking hard ass, man. That dude is amazing. Are you kidding
anyway,
me?
Anyway, he's a wonderful actor, and he'll probably, I'm sure he'll be nominated and maybe win for Best Actor this year. I can't recommend this movie highly enough, everybody. It's on Amazon. You can watch it now. They sent us a screener, and we were about to watch the screener and then realized it's already out. I don't want to ruin it for you. It's an indie. It has a slow pace to it, so you have to be patient with it. But he and the actress who plays his love interest give two of the finest performances I've seen. I think her name is Olivia Cooke, and she's a wonderful actress. I got to tell you, man, this Riz Ahmed, Donald will know him as Bodhi the pilot. He is an extraordinary actor.
Mm-hmm. Dude, he's phenomenal. Look, they showed when he was auditioning for Rogue One, Gareth Edwards recently, through Lucasfilm and Eric, they released the auditions, and he wasn't in town when he auditioned for Bodhi, but so he sent in a self-tape. And this is probably one of the dopest self-tapes I've ever seen in my life. You know?
Really?
And the guy does – and so – Gareth gives Riz his email, and so once Riz gets the email, he keeps sending him audition after audition, different ways that
oh,
this
really?
Character could be played. Yeah, that That's the character cool. could be played, and then finally Gareth was like, "Dude, come on, man! All right, fine, that's enough. You got the job; it's yours."
Oh, I should do that.
It's yours. Well, if they give you the email. They're giving you license if they
it's
give you
funny.
Email.
It's funny. I'm up for a part right now that I really want, and I know that the writer really wants me for it. I feel like I should be hotboxing the director with emails.
Do you have the email for the director?
Oh, I can get anything, Donald. I'm connected up in this bitch.
Okay, so you should go yourself. I mean, it's one way to do it.
Do you know the story of Empty Chairs at Empty Tables being a cappella in the Les Mis movie?
No.
Well, that actor... Eddie Redmayne doesn't have anyone to play piano with him. He's on location. He's making a movie somewhere. So he just sings a cappella, Empty Chairs with Empty Tables. And the director loved it so much that he kept it that way in the movie.
That's Aww. Awesome.
And that was cool. Anyway,
he's really good in that movie. He won the Oscar for that one and the one for playing the super dope scientist.
Anyway, I'm going to call it right now, kids. Ready? Riz Ahmed is the current front runner. For best actor in a film, in my mind. Wow. And I've seen a bunch of movies. So I'm telling you, get in early on this.
When are the Oscars?
They usually happen in like April, right, Joelle, these days?
I thought Oscars were February. Let me see.
I don't know.
Oscars,
oh, yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. Bow down to your superior knowledge. Sunday, April 25th, 2021.
There you go. Okay. I guess they'll do them probably like, remember when Jimmy Kimmel hosted what was it? The last awards show that the Emmys or something, he hosted something mm-hmm. and they did it in a really weird COVID way. I'm assuming they'll do it that way.
So this is right around the time when the good movies are going to start coming out then, right?
I think everything for 2020's been out already. I mean, you'll get some screeners. The weird thing about getting screeners, award screeners this year is that everything's pretty much been on TV.
But I always thought the movies came out like right around now. Like this is the time where you drop your movie if you want it to be, or
no,
it's about
no, you
got to
do
out.
It. You got to do it in December. To qualify, I believe you have to do a week of theatrical in a theater.
Okay, so let me ask you a question then.
Within the calendar year.
Okay, well, here's one. How do we do that this year? Two.
Well, because they were just putting movies out, like, you know, even if you drop your movie and 99% of people are going to see it streaming, you still did 1 week somewhere. It could be in Duluth. It doesn't matter. You just have to, like, be in a theater for a week.
Got it.
Are you going to watch the movie? I just want to know if there's even a cell in your... What if I told you that he, like, makes a Star Wars reference in the middle of the movie?
Well, one, you're lying to me, so that's not...
There's a really cool moment, like, three quarters of the way through the movie where there's, like, this fantasy sequence where they're, like, pretending they're in Star Wars. Can I watch it? Joelle, is your brother helping you pack, or are you doing all the hard work?
My brother and a roommate are very good packers. They are consistently helpful. I have a bad back, which means I can't lift anything over.
Oh, so you can't do anything.
Yes!
I'm totally
Joelle,
used to it. So
I love
your took the couch down yesterday that we're throwing out. So I would be very lost without them.
By the way, I got to say, Los Angeles gets a lot of shit. And granted, even there's more COVID than oxygen molecules currently. But today is a beautiful day, and this week it's going to be 84.
Wow.
So, you know, for all the shit the city gets, and we're clearly not that well run currently, but I do have to say it's a beautiful place to live in January. It's going to be 84 and sunny.
Mm. I don't know what to do. I know I'm going to take the kids out.
Take them golfing this week, man.
Well, we do that anyway. We've been doing that. We've been playing basketball. Like, we've been going out as a family.
You can swim them at my house, by the way. I'm going to be out of town this weekend if you want to run them at my pool.
That would be great. We will take you up on that, especially if it's 80-something degrees.
Remind me to turn the pool on or they'll be screaming. All right. Let's start this fucking show, Donald. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the TV show Scrubs.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs rewatch show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna be so upset at me.
Why? You didn't do a recap.
I did not do a recap.
Okay.
I kind of did a recap.
Poor Graph Guy. What does he do? What does Graph Guy do if he doesn't have a time?
I have like
zero.
I
puts a zero in there.
I have a bit of a recap, actually, but it's not a recap. It's just like scribbled thoughts on.
Oh, so you never got around to recapping, huh?
No, because listen, I made lunch today for the kids. You're gonna love this one. I made carne asada.
Mm-hmm.
With some Spanish rice,
mm-hmm.
and the vegetable was a nice spinach,
mm-hmm.
but not too slimy.
Did they appreciate it? That sounds like a nice meal. Did they appreciate it? They're like, we just want PB&J. You're a dick.
They ate all of it. It was very nice. It was like one of those moments in my life where I put the work into it and it worked out. So
it was one of those moments in my life where I enjoyed my kids.
You know, it was a great, well, you know, it's rare that your kids eat your food. They'll pick at it, they'll nibble at it, and you'll sit there and you'll be like, you eat that shit, and then eventually you finally throw it out and give them the damn ice cream that they're asking for.
What's a meal that they enjoy that's not dessert, that they'll really devour? Chicken fingers? I thought that's what everyone gives their
chicken
kids.
Chicken fingers used to be the jam, but now it's not. Now it's like, you know, mac and cheese. However, I did, you know, a quesadilla, that always works. You know what they
pizza,
what they really
right?
like?
Every kid loves pizza.
Well, avocado toast.
Oh.
That works out every now and then. You know, it's really difficult to get them to eat fruit unless it's like a apple or, you know, my daughter doesn't like oranges, but she likes little cuties. You know,
oh,
little,
I love a cutie.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? It's tough, man. Cause, and you don't have, and once you get a lot of it, that's when they don't like it anymore. You know, you purchase. So you notice, oh shit, he really loved the steak tonight. And so the next couple of meals, not next couple of meals, but you like try and introduce steak, you know, maybe 4 meals later. And they're like, I don't want that shit. And you're like, well, you know, he doesn't say I don't want that shit, but he's like, I don't want it. And you're like, well, you ate it, you know, 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, that it's was 4 days ago. Kids, my taste buds have changed.
I gotta tell you.
Your taste buds have changed in 4 days.
I don't feel a lot of positivity about this whole kid thing.
Dude, I'm not trying
they
to
move
talk
into
you
your house. They move into your house.
This is the conflict you
they
want.
They act like dicks.
It's the Empire Strikes Back. It's the conflict you want.
They're so ungrateful. They're expensive.
It's the conflict you want, but never knew you wanted. It's that I'm telling you, man. You love it. You
I
love
just want
the
to
back
say,
and forth.
I just want to represent on behalf of the listeners who may be on the fence about having children. I don't think that you're a walking advertisement for loving it.
Nobody wants Stepford or Children of the Corn kids. I'm telling you right now, you don't want that. I'm telling you right now, you want some type of character in your kids. You don't want the perfect child that just does whatever you want them to do.
I know. I'm just worried, to be honest, that this is my candid take, is that you put all this work into it, and then once they can talk, they're kind of like ungrateful and mean.
No, just anger is an easy emotion, man. Like, you know.
I know, but like, then move out. I'm sorry.
They're kids, man. They're kids.
I know. I'm obviously
kidding. It's the whole premise of the dark side of the Force is being a kid. You think I'm joking, but like.
I just wonder if you ever. You really how can long connect you can possibly go without thinking about Star Wars. Like, what's the longest you've ever gone?
Well, you asking me about why kids get so angry and stuff like that. It's an easy emotion for them, and they're young, and they're not wise, and don't know how to control their anger. And the best way to explain that to, you know, for me to understand it growing up was Star Wars. The reason why it's so easy to go to the dark side, to become powerful from the dark side, is because you're fueling your anger. That's why I talk about it so much. It's part of my life. Damn.
When you guys
dude, you're a hater. You be hating sometimes, man.
When are you guys
right, Joel? Joel, he be hating sometimes. Keep it 100. Get involved, Joel. He's talking
not
about
even
Star
listening
Wars.
To this episode. Hating. She's like putting bubble wrap around things.
Come on.
Joel got a bad back. She ain't putting no hate. She ain't putting
Joel's zoned out. She's got her like mic on mute, wrapping shit in bubble wrap.
Leave her alone. Here, I promise.
Focus. She's stressed out.
All right, let's get into the recap.
Joel.
Let's get into the recap.
All right, listen. Let's get into your non-written recap. Are you gonna like? Are you gonna like free flow it? What do you call that when you
freestyle?
Are you gonna freestyle?
I'm gonna do it off the top. It's gonna
right,
be off
go
the
ahead.
Top.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Ready?
Put a
here
beat
we go.
Down. Go ahead.
Dr. Cox and Dr. Kelso are like an old married couple. Tara Reid's back, yeah. And she's looking prettier and prettier as ever.
She
is that
hot.
Right? Did yeah. I say it right? Those
yeah,
eyes
did.
Are so blue. Carl is freaking out about the wedding. JD wants what he can't have. Mm. Victory can be snatched from you at the last moment. It's very interesting. The grass is also always greener on the other side. That's what this episode was about. This episode was about what's on the other side. And everybody has FOMO. But when you get it finally, at the end of the day, the grass isn't greener. If anything, it's maybe a little less green, or if not worse. Be happy with what you got, people. You like what you get what you get, and you don't get upset. That's how it goes.
All right. Well, listen, on behalf of all of our listeners, I think it's better when you pre-write them and plan them out a little bit.
I had shit to do. I'm sorry, people.
You had to feed
my
your
kids.
Kids
had to eat today.
All right, listen. I think this is a great conversation for all four of us. So, Daniel, pay attention. Joel, put down
Daniel's,
the bubble wrap.
Right, thank you.
Here, let's
everybody
do this.
Focus.
But you know I'm right. What I'm on the right track.
The theme of this episode, one of the things I took from this episode, we're talking about episode, what are we on here, Joel?
320.
20.
320. Okay, guys. By the way, we're getting to the end of the third season. So, you know, this shit's Uh-oh. Going by real quick. We're going to have to find another show to watch. Maybe it'll be The Office. How funny would that be if we did an Office rewatch podcast? We should do that shit.
Oh, my God.
But anyway... Wouldn't that be funny when we run out of episodes, we switch
that'd
to The Office?
The Office, that'd be hilarious.
Because I've actually never seen The Office all the way through. I think
I
it'd be funny
you guys
to watch.
To make up behind the
or Friends. Like, we pick another popular show, and we just do a rewatch of that show.
Down.
Friends is hilarious, dude.
I've actually
there
never
ain't no
seen...
black people on Friends. I'd be like,
except Aisha have... Tyler in season 6
and Gab I've Union. Seen, I think I've Gabrielle Union is in like appearance. One episode. Mm-hmm.
Right. All right, so if you were to do a rewatch podcast of a very popular sitcom, would it be Seinfeld, Friends, or The Office?
Ooh,
Donald.
It would probably be The Office.
Donald, you go first. I think we should do The Office.
No disrespect. I don't know, man. I don't know if I like The Office. It was very funny. It's a lot of seasons, also.
Friends is Seinfeld's the most popular one.
Yeah,
it's true. And there's, Martin.
In terms of,
thank you, Joel. That would be a good one. Have you ever watched Martin?
No.
Dude.
No, I remember like Gina, and I remember him getting in trouble because she hated him. That's all I remember.
No, Gina was his girlfriend.
No, the actress in real life like abhorred him. Right, Joel?
I didn't know this, but I want that tea. What? Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about
right now?
Oh, yeah, she did not like him.
What?
That's amazing.
Gina did not like Martin.
Tisha Campbell did not like Martin Lawrence.
No, you can Google it. She like hated him.
Oh, snap.
I'm pretty sure. Joel, please double check.
I'm on it.
Anyway, can we talk
about
this?
How do
I
not know this? That's great for sure.
So anyway, one of the main themes of this episode is JD wanting something he can't have. There's a great Groucho Marx quote, "I would never want to be a part of any club that would have me as a member."
Mm.
And I think JD, the character, and many humans we all know, and to all of us and to some extent, long for what we can't have. And then when we get it, are like, I don't know that I wanted this. And I wondered if you guys had any dating experience in your lives where you really, really, really lusted or longed for someone and then finally won them over. And then once you got them, were like, oh, I didn't want this as bad as I said I did.
No. The only person that I've ever worked really hard for in my life was Casey Cobb. Like, I worked my ass off to get her. Like, mm-hmm. I met her and there was that energy.
But you were pretty mature by then. I'm talking about, it's kind of an immature thing. Like you,
right.
Do you have any memories when you were younger of like working so hard to get a girl and like doing, pulling out all the stops and then she finally is into you and you're like, eh.
No.
I guess that's a no. Daddle, no. Joel, have you ever been through that experience on either side of it?
I have kind of a unique dating history because basically, you know, up until last year and 10 years before it, I wasn't dating at all while I was on the road. I had pretty much like just decided to skirt that whole part of my life to avoid the whole leaving
like
someone at home while I'm on the road.
Were you not hooking up with ladies?
You weren't even hooking up or hanging out?
I mean, there was, of course, you know, there was the occasional hookup and stuff like that. But I mean, in terms of like real lasting relationships where you get to know a person enough to even have that thought of like, oh, this isn't what I wanted. I basically only started, you know, really seriously dating like that last year. Mm. So I apologize for not having a good story for this moment.
No, you don't have to have a story. I'm more interested in the fact that you were celibate for 10 years, but I thought the sole reason to be a DJ was to,
go to mad big ass parties.
Invite girls to the DJ booth.
Spin knobs and pour
them Ciroc.
I didn't want to have a girlfriend waiting at home, so that temptation wasn't something I had to avoid.
That's a very mature way to look at things.
Yeah,
I think everybody wants a girlfriend at some point. And you know what, Zach? I probably did say things that were like, you know, but when you look back at it now compared to the things that I did for to be with Casey Cobb, nothing compares to that. You know what I mean?
I remember a young gal at Northwestern that I was really into, and I really pursued her and tried to court her, and she was not interested, and then she finally was interested, and I remember, I think like JD, I was like, oh, now I'm scared. I don't know what it was about. It was very immature. I mean,
I
admit that.
I could speak to that for sure. Go ahead. Of being get it, like, Joelle. Listen, sometimes you think a person is just so like, you're like I tend to fall for people where I'm like, what is this? I've never seen this like personality type before. Like, it's so unique to me. It's so different and interesting. Like, that's what really attracts me. And then sometimes you get up close and you're like, oh, that's a sociopath. I'm not supposed to be with that person. Right. Or, you know, or you're just like, what was initially exciting is like, this is laborious. I don't want that in a relationship. It's like, I'm interesting to be around that person, but not like, I want to beat that.
I think in my case, in hindsight, I was, why are you raising your hand?
I have a question. I don't want to interrupt anybody.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You're so sweet.
Do you want to ask it now or do you want me to continue my thought?
Yeah, what's a sociopath? I know what I kind of know what it is.
Someone with no conscience, right? Someone who has no conscience for their actions, right, Dan?
Sociopaths are usually murderers and stuff like that, aren't they?
They can be, but it's not like specifically like all sociopaths have the desire to murder. If you have no conscience, there's like a good chance that you are comfortable with taking a life, but not necessarily.
It's like you can do horrible things and it's not keeping you up at night,
right? Yeah, that's scary as fuck.
But I wanted to say, I think with hindsight, I look back and I think I was scared. I never thought she would like me, and then she finally began to be interested, and I think young me kind of panicked, like. I don't even know if I'd. I don't know. I don't know what the hell was going on. It was a weird thing. I look back on it and go, why did I panic and like sprint away? But anyway, it made me think of that because that's what JD's doing. He's clearly in love with Elliot.
Clearly.
And Sean has packed up all his things. He's moving in with Elliot, and JD, you know, has a scene that I think a lot of people who love the show know well, where he goes, "It should have been me," and she turns around and she says, "What?" And he goes, "Elliot, if I had a chance to be with anyone else or just be on the couch eating pizza, watching a movie with you, I would always choose you." And it really gets in her head. And Sean comes over and he's packed up his U-Haul and he's got everything and he's ready to move in. And she's like, "I can't do this." She comes to JD's house, the apartment, and she's got a pizza and she falls into his arms and she says, "Let's do this." And JD ends with him internally screaming and going, "I can't do this."
This is what I was talking about a couple of episodes ago when I said this is the moment when she has sex with him that Elliot knows, I want to be with JD for the rest of my life, but it's not time yet. He's not ready. I'm not ready. And then, so Sean shows up and she's back with Sean and she's going to play house with this guy knowing that this is the end game. But JD throws a monkey wrench in that. JD's like, okay, I don't give a shit if that's the end game. I know there's something right now. I want to explore that. And he throws the monkey wrench by saying, you know, "I feel for you." Mm. And that makes her go crazy inside. And she decides, you know what? Maybe he is ready. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I misjudged this. Maybe it's time to break it off with Sean. And she does. And brow. JD's not ready anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're both playing some pretty fucked up mind games with each other, you know?
Yeah, but don't you feel like they know? Like, this isn't a will-they-won't-they situation. This is a, they're gonna. You kind of know they are. You know what I mean? Like, there's gonna be a happy ending.
It's funny you say that because there's a really funny moment where the janitor says, I mean, come on, it's not like you guys are Ross and Rachel.
Who's Ross and Rachel?
And JD goes, "Who?" And he points to two Asian people who have the exact hair of Ross and Rachel. And he goes, hold on, I wrote it down. Dr. Ross and Rachel from Bookkeeping. And they have the exact same hairstyle as Ross and Rachel, but they're Asian. That was funny.
Yeah.
I love that.
That was the first time Scrubs is, well, other than the... That's the first time they've ever made an homage to Friends, right?
Also, the apartment that Sean and Elliot almost move into is the same layout as Monica's apartment in Friends. Now, I don't know Monica's apartment in Friends, but apparently it's the exact same layout. Yeah, did you know that?
Monica's apartment in Friends is freaking huge, man. There's really?
No, I think they mean the bedroom. I'm assuming they mean the bedroom. I don't know.
That thing is huge.
Because I know Monica's apartment by heart.
That thing is huge. That doesn't exist
in New York. Maybe they
That apartment doesn't exist in New York. Yeah.
Well, it does, but it's probably $20 million.
right.
Didn't they? I didn't watch Friends, but didn't they justify it? Like she inherited it or something? They had to justify why she had this giant apartment.
But then how did her brother's best friend from college have the apartment across the hall from her, though? Then,
and why was that not? Why did that one not have anywhere near the same style as the other one?
Because they were the alley-facing apartment in the back. This is a street-facing apartment with the view. It was her grandma's apartment. She handed it down, so it was rent-controlled.
But then how did Ross?
That apartment is not rent controlled.
How did Chandler and Joey get the apartment next, right across the hall from them? Then, if that's the case,
I think what happened is Grandma had been in the building for a long time. Ross and Chandler moved in there, and then when Ross moved out later, Joey moved in and took over.
We'll talk about all
this.
We
should freaking do this on our Friends podcast.
We'll do this.
We should do this on our Friends podcast.
Let's save this for our Friends rewatch podcast. By the way, that's a funny idea. I was daydreaming when we get through all 9 seasons that we would like do movies or pivot to something else. But I actually think it's funny if we keep reviewing other shows. The Office would be the most funny just because there's an Office podcast. They'll be done before us, I assume, and we'll just follow in their footsteps.
But, just do it all over again?
Yeah. Well, with our
version of it, right. That's
crazy. All right, we need to take a break, everybody. And I have to pee. I have to urinate. I have to drain.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
I have to drain my swamp.
That's enough.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
We're back. Yo.
Gurgle, gurgle, yeah.
Turk and JD play chess?
No, we've never played chess before, but that was fucking funny as shit. Now, so there's the sequence to remind you if you didn't watch it, where it ends with everyone saying another person's name. They're like, Turk, JD, and everyone's kind of calling each other. I read on Scrubs Wiki that it's an homage to a moment in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I've never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, so I don't know. But that was funny when everyone's calling each other name. And then it climaxes with Turk saying, checkmate, and JD screams and throws the chessboard.
Yeah, well, there's also the whisper conversation where Danny hears like a bat.
Yeah. Whales and bats, because we're talking about who has sonar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where right after that is where you break up the...
Yeah, bats and whales. That was funny. I like the tempo of that, like choo, 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 choo. Everyone
very fast.
Very clever. And
Tara is really, she's on point in this episode, man.
And
very
she looks
funny,
beautiful.
Man.
She looks beautiful.
Look beautiful.
She looks buxom. Point. She's buxom.
Yep. Is that what it is?
Well, she's beautiful, but she's also buxom.
Her doing yoga was very funny.
My Namaste. Father used to take two terms. Like if you said beautiful and buxom, he'd go, beautiful and buxom, attorneys at law. And like no matter if anyone says two random words together, he would then take those two words and say attorneys at law. And it was the stupidest dad joke, but I laughed every time.
I'm going to steal that.
Rest in peace, Harold. My dad would love this podcast. He would be one of the people listening every week.
Do you think he would write in to Joel?
Oh yeah, he would definitely.
Oh my god,
I'm not sure he'd be able to figure out how to write in to Joel, but he would try. My dad used to call me like once a month and be like, "Hey, I need more signed headshots." And I'd be like, Dad, there is no one in New Jersey that does not have a signed headshot. I've done the state. The state is covered. And he'd be like, no, I met the most lovely, because he was the most gregarious, friendly guy. He'd be like, no, I met the most wonderful couple at the car wash. And of course I told them. And I said, Dad, look, I'm going to sign these things, but I'm not going to write messages to them all. Because like I have like other things to do. This is not like my full-time job is not making sure everyone in New Jersey has a signed headshot with a message. And he goes, no, you have to write the message. I go, Dad, here's the thing. I'm going to sign them, and I'm going to send you the Sharpie, and you can write whatever message you want. And he goes, I'm not doing that. I go, well, then I'm not doing it either. He goes, okay, send me the Sharpie.
Oh, my God. Did you ever hear – did you ever see what he wrote? Did he ever
No,
tell
God
you?
Knows what he wrote in my name. But I knowing my father, they were very, very long-winded and beautiful.
God, you probably, if you have a signed photo from Zach's dad, please write it.
If you have a signed photo, if you have a signed photo from me that was given to you by my father, it is my signature, but the very long message that's neatly printed is probably not for me. All right, what else, Donald? Let's talk about some of this funny shit. Richard Kind is back. He's hilarious.
He's hilarious. He has one of the best turns in the history of turns.
With the curtain?
The curtain. He's like, I want to know everything about me. And there's nothing you can say to make me change my mind. Oh, it turns out insurance won't pay for this. Good day, sir.
He closes the curtain. They must be frantically changing him behind the curtain. Because,
it had to be.
Because when the curtain whips open, he's already got his street
already
clothes on.
Already dressed and he's walking.
My God. There's nothing that man can say that doesn't make me laugh. I just think he's so funny.
Dude, what was hilarious is that Casey wandered into the room and that scene happened and she goes, oh, that guy's really funny. And then walks
he's
right
funny.
Out.
He's one of these so people. Funny. He's one of these people, like Will Ferrell is another example, where you just start giggling when you look at them. Like, you know, right. You know they're going to say something that's going to make you giggle.
Right.
I remember seeing the Anchorman trailer in a movie theater, and Will Ferrell came up with his look in Anchorman, and the whole audience just started laughing.
Right.
He hadn't said a word yet. I mean, obviously the costume and look was funny, but he hadn't said a word yet, and everyone was – so there's certain people that have that. Richard Kind has that. You look at him, and you just start – you already are primed to laugh.
So funny, man.
I love
so
that, man. We really got to have him on. Joelle, are you working on Richard Kind?
I think he's one more episode. I'm not sure. Maybe
well,
two.
Well, Joelle, will you – Bill Lawrence probably has a contact for him, but I'd love to have him on and talk about lots of things.
Definitely. How about the kid with the grown man voice, Richard Wells?
Yeah, we should say that this episode is directed by Richard Wells, who was our first assistant director, one of our best first assistant directors in the whole run of the show. Great man.
He was our first assistant director.
Yes. For those of you who aren't in the business, the first assistant director is the crew member who's kind of like a stage manager in theater. He's calling out, okay, you know, is the loud voice that's organizing everything and telling everyone we got to go and here we go and you go
he's
over there.
He's the bad guy. He also has to be the bad guy.
He's the traffic cop, if you will. It's a very hard job, a very stressful job. They stereotypically die early because of the amount of stress.
Oof.
No, I know that because they're members of the same guild I'm in and the DGA – I don't know. Rumor has it we have great insurance because first ADs are so stressed and they die early.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true. Anyway, it's a very stressful job, and Richard Wells was very good at it. And this is his first episode actually directing the show, and he has a very deep voice. And so he's the voice of the child that has a deep voice in this episode.
Very funny, too.
Now, this is one of – I think the fans' favorite flashbacks in 9 years, everybody. This is the fantasy where Turk and JD drive 5 hours to see Michael Jordan play and forget the tickets, and Turk pulls out his hair.
Yeah, we went 500 miles because we got the ticket. Was I supposed to bring the tickets or the sandwiches?
Yeah, and we both hold up the sandwich bags. And then you scream and pull out your high top fade.
And then JD goes to pick up the hair from the floor and Turk says, leave it on the floor.
Leave it. It's so funny, man.
Don't touch it.
I love how you're wearing like an off-brand 23 jersey because we couldn't license the Michael Jordan jersey.
You know exactly what it is when it's the number 23.
I know.
It's either Michael Jordan or who?
Kobe.
No, man.
Oh, bro. Who else was 23?
Failed. You only had one.
I know. Well, I know. Who wasn't Magic Johnson 35?
No, man.
What was Magic Johnson? 32? 30 something.
Magic Johnson was 32.
All right. Well, you should
Michael
impress.
Jordan
I knew a little
was bit. 23. LeBron James is 23. Kobe Bryant was 8. And 24.
Now, why is LeBron taking Jordan's number? Isn't that a weird
thing? It was
his
number since he was a kid.
Oh.
He always got that number.
But he had it as a kid because of Jordan.
Right, but he was always the Jordan on the team. Like, LeBron James was always the best player on the team.
Here's something I don't know the answer to, and a lot of my non-sports-loving listeners agree. They want to know the answer to this question. A lot of people want to know it right now. How do you get assigned a number as a NBA player?
You pick a number.
Mm-hmm. You can pick any number.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it's not taken. Yo, some people have numbers and, you know, a star will come to the team and be like, yo, let me get that number. And
they have to change their number. And the person
who has the number has the opportunity to say no or play me for it.
Oh, or, play you know, me for it. Now, do you, if you change teams, does your number come with you?
That's what I'm saying. If you go to a team, like let's say you were on the Lakers and you were wearing the number 5 and you go to the, the Miami Heat and somebody else is wearing the number 5 and you're like, yo, that's my number.
And I'm more famous. I'm the superstar.
The person has the opportunity to say, get the fuck out of here or play me for it. Or, you know what I mean? You know.
If I say a famous player, do you know their number?
Maybe. Go ahead.
Isaiah Washington.
Isaiah Washington is an actor.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean that.
You mean Isaiah Thomas?
He got it, though.
I meant Isaiah Thomas. Sorry, Isaiah Thomas.
11.
Oh, good. Dikembe Mutombo.
55. Dikembe Mutombo. 55.
Dikembe Mutombo. Mike Jaminski.
I don't know Mike Jaminski.
Daryl Dawkins.
Oh, shit. I should know this. 42, right? What's Daryl Dawkins' number? 34. 34. No, 42. Something like that.
34 or 42. To
34 is Charles Barkley. Oh,
Daryl Dawkins. 53, 45, and 50.
Wow. I was way off.
Muggsy Malone.
No, Muggsy Bogues, you mean?
Yeah, Muggsy Bogues. He was the little guy, right?
Kind of Muggsy Malone.
wasn't he little?
Yeah, I think it's he zero.
Was. Oh, zero.
5'3".
It's either zero or one.
I think you're editing it's zero.
Is he the shortest player to ever be that good?
It was one or it was zero?
I think it was zero.
I'm seeing one on the Charlotte team. Yeah.
Donald.
14.
Well, he played with Alonzo Mourning. Right. On Charlotte, he played with Alonzo Mourning, number 33. I know
was
that.
There ever a player that was that short and that good?
I think Nate Robinson might be close to that height. Or he's 5'3", you said? No.
Nate Robb's 5'9".
Yeah, no. I don't think so. Spud Webb's 5'7".
Spud Webb.
10? No, 7. 7, 7, 7, 7.
Yeah, Spud Webb's 5'7".
All right.
But is his number 7?
4.
I'm so way off.
All right.
Way off.
Yeah. Kids, stay away from the weed. Is the caller here?
Really stay away from the weed because I don't know a basketball player's number?
I'm just saying short-term memory loss. Your fucking special pill you take for memory ain't working on basketball numbers.
This is over 20 years ago, dickface.
I'm just saying, penis breath, that maybe you should
Do you remember? Do you remember what your history teacher taught you on December 9th?
Yeah. She famously said, Donald, eat a dick.
No, she famously said, suck an asshole, Zach.
Yeah, you know what she said? Chug a bag of dicks. All right, let's bring in the call.
Is that what she said? Chug a bag of dicks?
I'll never forget. Mrs. Weckstein, she said, tell Donald in the future to chug balls.
My science teacher told me to stick a stethoscope up your motherfucking ass.
Yeah.
Is that even right?
Yeah. Geography teacher said, tell Donald.
Geography teacher told me to tell Zach, here's a globe, put it up his ass.
Here's a globe. All right. Here's a globe. My geography teacher famously said, here's a globe. All right. Call him in.
We'll go to break.
We'll go to break.
And we're back with Craig Jenkins. You've got the two dudes from the Muppets on your wall.
Do you know their name, Donald? Do you know their names?
The old guys in the balcony.
Oh, you nailed it.
Wait, listeners, if you're listening, you probably know the names of the two.
What are the names, Zach?
Crotchety men in the box.
You know it, Zach. What are the names, bud?
It's something like Steinway and Mortimer or something.
Ooh, you're close.
But you got it wrong.
I know.
Dick Lick.
Come down. We have a fucking guest here, asshole. Craig, I don't know, but I know it's something like Mortimer and Steinelberg.
It's Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, Statler and Waldorf. Close.
And don't worry, they're only judging me. Don't you guys do whatever you got to do.
Now, are you? That's an awesome photograph. He has like a giant Statler and Waldorf photograph on his wall. It looks like they're like your long lost relatives.
Yes.
Where did you get that? That's cool. I've never seen that.
I actually I had it made for. I used to own a live music venue in Santa Barbara for 20 years, and the idea was to have them. The original idea was to build out their platform and have the actual Muppets sitting there looking down on the stage.
That's awesome.
But you'd be shocked how hard it is to get those Muppets made. So I bypassed on that, found this picture, blew it up, and hung it up literally right where they would be sitting, looking down on every.
That's cool.
That's great.
So, yeah. That's cool. That's a clever idea. But yeah, to have like Muppets recreated was probably a steep price.
Yes, it wasn't as affordable as I would have hoped.
Yeah.
Were they gonna be like actual people holding, you know, with their hands up the Muppets' asses, talking for the Muppets?
Oh no.
He was just gonna put them like prop there. Yeah.
Just perched.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting theater. If you did do that, though, you know what I mean.
Have some guy whose only job it is to work the puppets and make snide.
That's
outfits.
It. Right.
Yeah. That'd be a good
That'd
gig.
Be cool. That'd be cool. All right, Craig, are you calling from Santa Barbara?
I actually live in Buellton, which is just up 101 from Santa Barbara. But yeah, I've lived in Santa Barbara for about 25 years.
That's a beautiful place to live.
I love it. Just up the freeway for you guys.
I know. But you don't have any of this Hollywood mishigas. All you have is the beach and beautiful weather and happy people.
I'll take it. Yeah. I will take it.
Donald, it's so beautiful. Santa Barbara. It's so pretty up there.
It's so beautiful there. It's so far. It's far away from us, though. It's like an hour, right?
It's an hour and a half, right?
Yeah, there's really no traffic these days, so come
on
up.
It's not that far. It's not that far.
You have a great zoo. The zoo is amazing. And it's really interesting that, some people don't like zoos. I guess I shouldn't.
I think you can.
I realize
zoos.
I stepped in some doo doo when I said that.
No,
the zoo's amazing.
There's a fraction of the audience that'll be like, fuck Donald and his zoos, but they're not going to turn off the podcast.
But their zoo is amazing. And you know, these animals are. You know, people are, they donate a lot of money to the animals and stuff to keep them healthy.
How do the animals store the money?
Well, they keep it in a little vault.
Is it cryptocurrency? Are they hip?
They donate money to the animals.
Yeah, the animals have a little
problems.
Vault. It's a big vault. They swim in it, actually. The only problem is getting the lions out.
One of the problems for the Santa Barbara Zoo is how to store all of the money that the animals have saved. Craig, what do you do in Santa Barbara?
Well, as of late, not much.
Right.
Unfortunately, I was part of the one of the industries that got hit, which was I was a touring sound engineer and a tour manager for a lot of bands that went around the globe. And, cool. And of course, that industry has been come to a screeching halt.
Any bands that we would know about that we could say, wow, we had Craig on, he's cool?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I know the kind of music you guys listen to, and I'm not really sure.
Just solely gangster rap.
Exactly. Just completely gangster rap. Well, we had a lot of actually gangster rap guys come from the club that I had in Santa Barbara. Like we had most of Wu-Tang Clan coming individually, Too Short and all those guys. It was just great. Yeah. It kind of launched me into going out and touring with bands like Flogging Molly and Frank Turner and Rise Against and stuff like that. Lucero, bands along those nature.
Do you like life on the road as a tour manager? It must be fun.
I love it. You just wake up in a different city every day and you just kind of put the, especially with sound engineering, where you just kind of get to put the puzzle together and for all to enjoy. And it's, and I remember it was one of those things about tour managing is like, there was a study that was done that said the shorter the distance between what you do and the results of what you do, the happier you tend to be, or people tend to be in general. Mm. And it definitely held true for me for sound engineering and doing that kind of stuff, because you do it, you see, and I'm sure for you guys acting and performing, you get immediate feedback, you know.
Well, we only get immediate feedback if we're doing a play. When you said that, it made me think, and Donald can, I'm sure, attest, because he's done theater too, to that experience where it is so gratifying when people like the play. Whereas when we do a film, for example, it's a year before we know if anyone loves or hates it.
Right. No.
Do you have kids? You don't have kids.
No kids.
It's a hard life for someone.
I was about to say no wife, no kids.
It's really difficult for a lot of my friends that do it that have families. It just tears them apart being away from their family.
Now, when you get into a new venue, I've never asked a sound engineer this. The mixing board in each venue is different, right? So you have to know a wide array of mixing boards.
Well, yes and no. The basic principles of mixing, I'm sure Danielle can attest to this, they're all basically the same. But what happened was I was fortunate enough to learn sound engineering on an analog board. And then when it all went to digital, what happened was you were able to save your files and then you can show up. So if they have like the Midas board, you can plug it in, your show pops right up. It's kind of cheating in my opinion.
Slow down, because there's a lot of people that listening that don't have anything to do with the entertainment business. And I just want them to know that what you're saying is that the mixing boards that these venues have are often one of a few brands.
Correct.
So you can show up and just put your file in and all your show pops up?
If you've been on that board in the past, it will recognize that file and it'll bring it up and your channel list will be there. It'll save you a ton of time for a sound check and just get the show going a lot faster. But you're right. There are different boards in all the different venues. Your tour manager, as tour manager, you would advance the show, figure out what you're walking into so you know if you either have to build one from scratch.
So you have to get all of this. You'd have to know in advance what you're walking into. There's no way you could just show up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I show up to every venue assuming I'm going to build it from scratch. If it's fortunate enough where they already have a board I've been on, then I'm just like, oh, just save myself 3 hours, plug that thing in.
Don't you know ahead of time this venue has this board?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And the size venues we were doing, which is like a lot of the, like in England, a lot of the O2 academies are all built a lot, very much the same. And so you can just go from one academy to the next and you're good to go.
I think that would be a really fun job, mixing live acts. I think that would be fun.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. I miss it. It's like, it's been a long time since I've been able to get behind one of those.
What happens when you hate the band?
Yeah, I was about to say,
you leave quickly.
Yeah, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it no matter what the check. I mean, obviously, if you have responsibilities, you take the check. But I'm saying, I would imagine it'd be a nightmare if you hated the music.
Yes. Well, I was lucky enough to kind of pick and choose the bands that I wanted to work with. And I met a lot of them having come through my club. And, you know, so then after hearing their set or enjoying their music or not enjoying their music, or even more importantly for me, enjoying them as people, would be a big indicator on whether or not I would agree to tour with these guys.
Daniel, you look like you have a question. I call on you.
Craig, what's the name of your club?
It was actually named after a Eddie Murphy character. We share a fondness for everything that guy did on Saturday Night Live, and it was called Velvet Jones.
Okay. I'm Velvet Jones.
How to be a hoe, exactly. And so through that, we did that, and we had to close our doors.
That was when I knew I had been kicked in the butt by love.
Exactly. I knew you guys would be right up there, would piece that one together quite quickly.
We love Eddie, and we love Eddie on SNL.
And all those great characters, wasn't he only on that show for like a season and a half?
Is that how long it was?
It was real short.
You can watch, if you're listening and you haven't seen it, they have Eddie Murphy's Greatest Hits on SNL.
Yeah, but it changed, yes. Man. The first one was the best one. When it originally came out, it was a certain set of skits, and it was the best one. And then the best of Eddie Murphy's Saturday Night Live changed a bit. But the first one...
Oh, I'm talking about when I watched like
when you were
a
kid, yeah.
Ago. Yeah, when I was
right.
A kid.
When you were a kid, that's the one.
Oh, you want to find the old one. Don't find the new one.
Yeah, don't get... The one that came out after that isn't the same thing. And you can't find the original one anymore with all of those sketches. Yeah, you can't find that one anymore. If you could, you could try to. I've had a hard time finding
it. He was on for 4 years, dude. 1980 to 84. Okay. See, we weren't old enough to be watching SNL.
No, I knew who Eddie Murphy was at a very young age.
Well, you were watching Eddie live on SNL? I wasn't up.
No,
that
but
late
my parents let seven. Me. My parents loved Eddie Murphy so much. People were talking, dude. It was New York. I grew up in New York City, 43rd and 9th Avenue. I was very close to 30 Rock. Right? That's what it is. 30
yeah,
Rock,
Rockefeller
right?
Center. Yeah.
Rockefeller Center. Mm-hmm. I was very close to it. Eddie Murphy was a big thing when he hit Saturday Night Live. Everybody knew who he was. I remember being like, the black guy on Saturday Night Live is the funniest motherfucker in the history. You know what I mean? And not ever even seeing Saturday Night Live. My parents one night being like, yo, you want to stay up and watch it? And we'd be like, yeah. And getting to see him do Mr. Robinson. It's a beautiful day in the day. Dude, I couldn't believe it, man. I couldn't believe it. It was can you spell scumbucket? Do you know when it's scumbuckets? I bet you do.
I like when he goes, do the thing where he goes, this is how you answer the door in my neighborhood.
This is how you answer the door in my neighborhood, boys and girls. Who is it?
Oh, man. I want to be friends with Eddie.
Oh, dude, I would love to be friends.
It's one of my life goals.
I would hang out with him, man. You know what, man? There were times where I felt like maybe I should say something like, yo, Ed, can we hang out? But I was always afraid to say things.
I'm going to try for us.
And there have been times where I've hung out, where I've been around him and I could have said things like that. And I was just so afraid because he is Eddie Murphy. And the last thing I want is to be a stan. I don't want to be a stan to Eddie Murphy, but I really want to be a stan because all of the comedy that I freaking do now really comes, it stems from him. Him and Richard Pryor when I was, you know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah, Delirious. If you've never seen Delirious, the stand-up Raw, act,
not just the Delirious.
No, Raw, even, forget Raw. Delirious was the jam.
You could say Raw because it's not PC anymore, but Raw was freaking fire. No, just, Raw Delirious was good, is
Delirious,
fire too. But
Delirious, when I saw Delirious, I don't know what year I was able to see it. It was I definitely was young, and I knew I shouldn't be watching it because it was so R-rated. But I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Raw is one of the umfufu half. All
Eddie,
of that shit.
Eddie, I want half.
I want half. I want what's coming to me. That shit is one of the funniest things. I don't give a fuck. Last week, you was butt naked on a zebra. That shit is one of the funniest things. Dude, I don't give a fuck what you say, man. Raw is one of the funniest. Oh, my gosh, man.
Eddie.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's focus.
There's a
let's
bunch
focus.
Of African people that are like, fuck Eddie Murphy, man.
Suck my dick, Eddie. Let's focus. Craig, what's your question for us?
I have a couple questions, and I also have some, if we have time, some trivia for you guys.
All right. Go ahead.
But yeah, I'd like to start out just like, you know, throughout this podcast, and to let you guys know, I've been trying to binge listen to this. I'm only halfway through season two of the podcast, so if these questions have already been asked, forgive me. But I would keep having questions while I was listening, and you guys later ask them where they'd be sad that they wouldn't be no longer possible. And when you guys first came out with the jingle, I thought how great, first of all, outstanding jingle. It, you know, puts a pep in my step every time I hear it. But I thought how great it would be to have maybe Sam Lloyd's band do a version of it. And then, unfortunately, he passed away. I'm like, okay.
But maybe they could do one without Sam as an homage to him.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah. But and then moving on. So then after that, week after week, you know, Donald would be giving you such a hard time about having never seen Remember the Titans. And so through my network of crew friends, I was trying to quarterback getting word of Denzel's camp to send you like a cameo style video, like begging you to watch the movie.
I don't think Denzel does cameo.
No, he's not on cameo. Well, no, but I mean, through the people that I work with to get to him, just to be Denzel, to email you the video, but
Denzel would be like $100,000 for a video. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sure. But my question is for Zach is a butterfly effect question. Do you think that had you seen Remember the Titans before you had cast Garden State, you would have given Donald the role?
No, because I think Donald's hilarious, but I think I was.
Tell the truth, you were trying to be as far away from Scrubs as possible.
I was. Of course I was. With my first big opportunity to act / direct in something, I didn't want to be pigeonholed in Scrubs and only be thought of as the guy from Scrubs. So when I got my first big gig separate from Scrubs, I didn't then want to cast my best friend as the guy in the movie, because I was trying to separate the two. And, you know, I also pictured that character that Method Man played just, you know, different from Donald, like, you know, more of a hard fucking intimidating guy.
You break my heart.
I know you can play hard.
I'm an actor. Here's the thing. You know what? And this has followed me my whole career, and it's funny that this is the reason why Zach did it. When I was a kid, I was up for Bronx Tale, right? And I remember De Niro had me do the table read. I got to meet everybody from the freaking, from Goodfellas pretty much was there. I was like, holy shit, it's the cast from Goodfellas here. You know, pretty much. I did the table read. And then we're auditioning people for Collogio. And I freaking, do the readings with these kids, and I'm thinking I'm a shoo-in for the part. Do you know what fucking De Niro's note was and why I didn't get the role? He was like, he's too much of a Cosby kid, meaning I was too much like one of the Huxtables. I was too much like one of the Huxtables. So when this is something that has followed me my whole career, this is why I probably don't do a lot of action movies. This is probably why I don't, you know, because I'm too much of a nice guy and I'm not hard enough, just like Zach said. So you know what, Zach? Fuck you, man. Fuck you and fuck anybody who thinks like you, man. Fuck all y'all. Fuck you and fuck you.
All right.
It hurts. Well, I'm out.
Well, that took a
God
turn.
Bless.
Sorry about
thanks,
that.
Thanks a lot, Craig.
No. Oh, no.
We'll be back.
He probably has to take a hit of the weed.
Sorry about that. That was not my intention to send him out.
Pretty
of
funny,
the
though.
That was not the look I was going for.
I couldn't stay away.
Okay. I want to say that the same goes for myself. I there's roles I wouldn't cast. I'm not going to, if I was making a movie with a mob boss, I'm not going to cast myself as the mob boss. Donald, you have decades of being a likable guy that people love who's comedic. Of course you could play hard. Of course you could play a tough guy. But there's so many other actors that comes as naturally to them as you being lovable and likable is. I don't know why I wouldn't hire them. Or I don't know why someone who was casting. But don't you think the same thing goes for me? No one's going to cast me as the fucking assassin.
You don't know that. You've never put yourself in those shoes. You've never ever fucking walked that walk to see if you could play that. So you don't know what the fuck. You know what I mean? You've never been given that opportunity. If you had the opportunity and you failed miserably, then I could totally understand.
Like if I got the audition to play like a tough Italian gangster, I would say
But that's bullshit because there's no work. There's not a lot of work when it comes to the audition part. The audition for it, yeah, you're going to go and you're going to give the best version of that you possibly can, but you're not freaking opening up the book on the character. You're not creating something. You're not diving in. You're not doing what you did when when you worked with De Niro. You're not doing that stuff. You're for an audition. You never know what it is that you're able to reach until you're given the opportunity. So how would you know? How that's the freaking judging a book by its cover shit that a lot of Hollywood does, and it's the reason why a lot of actors are pigeonholed. Because people are like, you know what? He can only play this character. But you don't know that. You haven't given the person another chance.
I think the blessing and the curse that goes with the blessing of being on a show for a decade is that you do get pigeonholed a bit, for better or for worse. It's true. It's honest. It's people do go, oh, my God, that's the funny, gregarious, charming, lovable guy. I'm not saying people can't break out of that. Of course they do. Look at Bryan Cranston. He was the lovable dad on Malcolm in the Middle. But it's a challenge, and I'm sorry if
No, I'm not. I'm being facetious when I'm being funny because I'm
no,
actually,
but I obviously because I've actually into something that's upsetting.
No, but I've actually been given opportunities to do things like that, and I think I've done a pretty good job, or I've had a good time creating whatever character it was that I did when making said opportunities. My point is that thinking like that isn't going to get anybody. It's not going to get you anywhere. So to say you can't play that, you don't think anybody would ever hire you that, it's like the whiteboard.
I'm just saying if you were casting a movie, you're directing a movie, right?
Right.
And the role is for a 45-year-old hard ass. He's maybe he's connected to the mafia in some way. He's fucking, he needs to be intimidating. Let me just finish my thought. You're not going to call me. You shouldn't call me. If you called me, I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? Hire fucking Bobby Cannavale. What are you doing? Go.
I'm sorry for you, man. Then if that's, I don't know, man. I disagree with that. I think you have the potential to play anything if you are willing to stretch out with, I want to say your feelings, but then you're going to say I'm talking about Star Wars. You know what I mean? If you're willing to put the work in and stuff like that, you know, it's there. Anything's obtainable, especially in this. This is a craft. It's not, you know what I mean? People work really, 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 really hard once they're in the door, and it sometimes pays off. You know what I mean? You're in the door. If somebody gave you an opportunity like that and it was a sick-ass role, I don't see why you wouldn't say, fuck it, I'll go for it and try your best instead of coming at it as, you're picking me? Me? Really, me? You think I could do that? Fuck that shit, man. I'll, you know, That's held me back so many times in my career, dude.
I know.
You know, you get auditions and you look at it and you're like, I don't know if I can do that. And then all of a sudden that makes it, you've already lost the part. You know, fuck that shit, man. Go at it as you can do anything. I don't know, man. I know. I sound like I'm. Listen, no, I love you, bro.
I love you, passion.
And I think and I think we are all capable of incredible things. And because of that, I really believe that you're capable of doing, you know, things that you say you don't believe you can do, but only if you believe.
I hope to play a hard ass soon. Craig, do you have a question that won't get us into a fight?
Yes, I apologize for that. I guess, well, I've got a question for both Danielle and Joelle, as well as one for
you guys. It's pronounced Danielle. It's Danielle.
Danielle. Sorry. Danielle. It's a name that doesn't exist. It's because of people misreading his email. That's why we call him Danielle.
Gotcha. Well, should I start with them or start with them? Okay. We'll start with them, if that's all right.
Up to you, friend.
You know, being on the producing side of a lot of shows, like I was talking about, it's always interesting for me to meet the people or to figure out the paths people have taken on the production side that got them to land to where they are now. And I know when you guys have your guests on for the first time, you always kind of ask them that question. I was kind of curious about the two of you.
Well,
like how we got to being producers.
As far as doing the engineering or producing shows, like what shows did you work on, which led you to another show, which led you to this?
I could do that real quick. Yeah. I was working at AfterBuzz TV doing 5 after shows a night, which led me to Collider, doing a lot of their Jedi Council things.
You worked on Jedi Council. I can't believe it.
I did. I made guest appearances there, and I did the Schmodown as a Night Sister, so it was, like, very on brand. And then my good friend Danny Fernandez, who worked at iHeart, was like, yo, you should come do script notes for my show, which Danil was doing the engineering and editing for. And then Daniel was like, hey, Jack, who is our boss? You should hire this girl to produce. And that's how I ended up here.
Awesome.
Here we are.
And Daniel, were you always doing engineering like this? Or did you ever do studio or live music or anything like that?
That's so funny that you asked. Yes, Craig. Before, the reason I asked about your venue is because I was wondering if I had played there. I used to be part of a DJ producer duo called Gladiator, and we toured the world for the last like 10 years. After that stopped being super profitable, I started looking for work in places that also use the skills of audio editing and everything that I've been doing and cutting audio. I taught at a couple different DJ schools around Los Angeles. There was a posting about openings at iHeart, or at the time it was How Stuff Works. They were opening their new LA office and they were starting a new comedy branch. So I submitted, I interviewed, and and now I'm here. And
started
just working on one show, to editing 3 shows, to editing and engineering 4 shows, to producing a show, to getting asked to drop off some equipment at Zach and Donald's place. And now here we are.
It's really interesting. You know, I don't think either one of them thought that this was going to be their job. You know what I mean? Like, I know. And what's crazy is that they were both on a show together at one point before this, doing something similar, talking about a subject that they were very interested in. Am I correct? Like you guys were both personalities on the air, right?
That show never got released, but Joelle was. The show that we did together had not been released yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess you were too, Daniel, because you were doing the video game recaps and our awesome soundboard. The show, man, we have to talk about that show. It was a lot of fun.
See, now you guys got your little inside jokes, and I'm not really feeling it. Let's get that.
Okay.
Joelle, would you make a note that the
Craig,
guests should
I'm
not
gonna
ask?
I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, Craig, you're very divisive, man. You are a divisive
Joelle, if you could just jot down a note that all the guests need to ask solely about Donald and I, please.
Yeah, okay. That's it. No more of this.
None of this. Tell us about you guys bullshit.
You are a divisive caller, Craig.
All right, Craig,
you are pushing
time
buttons
to fix your life, even though you've ruined ours.
Oh, no. Ready? On the count of 3, it's
time to fix your life. Keep the didgeridoo from last week, Daniel.
I'm not familiar with this segment.
Oh, it hasn't come out yet.
Oh my gosh, that's right. It has.
It hasn't aired yet, but
that's so funny.
We added didgeridoo
I chose Craig was because he had trivia questions, and we talked forever ago about doing potentially more trivia on what it was like. And I really liked the trivia questions he had.
So we're not doing Fix Your Life, we're doing trivia. We don't have a trivia theme song.
Let's get into it. It's time for Scrubs Trivia!
Still with Dizzeridoo.
Now I feel like I'm missing out on fixing my life, but that's all
right. Well, all right, yes. So you're right, whatever that big problem was, it's fucking not going to get healed. All right, trivia, okay, go.
Now, trivia.
I've got two questions for you guys. The first one is, who was the only actor that had a story arc in both Scrubs and House?
First of all, I've never watched an episode of House.
I didn't think you were going to have this one. I thought Zach might have
to think of who.
Heather Graham.
Wait. I got it. Michael Weston.
That's right. Nailed it. Well done, Zach. Well done.
Good job, Zach.
Good job. That was a deep pull. Michael Weston played Private Dancer on our show, if you recall. And he also did a big arc on House. Also did a really scary fucking career-making arc on 6 Feet Under, if you remember that show. Mm-hmm. He was a very, very, very scary character that encountered Michael C. Hall. All right, go ahead. I'm winning.
Okay, you are winning. The next one is, besides Donald and Rerun, what other guest star that appeared on Scrubs was also the inspiration for A Dance Craze?
Besides Donald and Rerun, what character appeared on Scrubs inspired A Dance Craze?
Hold on.
Now, my money's on you, Donald.
Because I got to get it. Because I got to get this right.
Is it Billy D? Dance Craze. I don't know. Who is it?
It would be Courtney Cox as the inspiration for the Carlton dance.
Oh, the Bruce Springsteen. She inspired the Carlton.
She inspired the Carlton that we all love so much.
That's right. In the Bruce Springsteen.
You mean the white people dance.
Yes.
No, but in the Bruce Springsteen video, he pulls her up out on stage.
Hold on. Well, is that before Molly Ringwald in The Breakfast Club? Because she does the same dance in The Breakfast Club.
Oh, so you're saying that all white chicks dance the same, Donald?
I'm saying all white people did that dance first, and that's why Carlton was doing it, because Carlton was supposed to be the white black guy on the show.
Right.
Wow, good trivia. Do you have another one?
As far as trivia, that was it for trivia, but a quick question was, and this always kind of bothered me about, I hope this isn't another divisive question, but it was when you guys figured out, the name of the janitor as Glenn Matthews, that kind of threw me on a curveball, because the episode where you saw him in The Fugitive and you kind of flipped out, I'm like, well, why didn't you just watch the credits?
Bill has an answer for this, that he,
this was a we never shot it though.
I just know that I think Bill said on our podcast, didn't he say that Glenn Matthews was lying when he was in The Fugitive and came up with a fake name, Neil Flynn?
Oh, I see.
Because he's always lying about what his name is. But his real name is right. Glenn Matthews. There you go, Donald. Daniel tells us that Dancing in the Dark came out 1 year before The Breakfast Club. So Molly Ringwald got her moves from Courtney Cox.
Wow, Courtney, get it, girl. Get it, girl.
There it is.
Get it.
So Courtney really set a dance trend that reverberated for many decades. Oh, you want to hang around while we keep talking about the show? You can.
No, sure. I mean, I guess, yeah.
Imagine, I can't wait for the guest that's like, you know what? I'm going to get out of here.
Was there any guests or special guests that you guys really wanted to get on the show that weren't able to? You guys did such a great job of getting.
I wanted Spike Lee to direct. I knew Spike Lee was a fan of the show, and I really wanted him to direct the show. I wanted him to direct it so bad, and it never worked out. That was, and then Jamie Foxx also. I wanted somehow to get Jamie Foxx on the show also. I remember saying it to him, and he was like, "Yeah, I'd be down," but it never worked out. And Dulé Hill as well. I wanted Dulé on the show, and Halle Berry. That was the other one. I really wanted Halle Berry on the show more than anything. I wanted Halle Berry on the show.
Zach, anyone for you?
I can't remember. I don't think so. I think everybody I could think of came.
I mean, the guests you got were incredible. You covered almost all my favorite shows growing up. You know, you represented one way or another. It was incredible. And in fact, Scrubs, I think, was the last show that I remember watching like on a schedule. Like, you know, now you can just binge watch everything, but that was one of those. I'm like, oh, it's Thursday. You know, got to plan my schedule around it to watch that week by week. But whereas now you can just burn through the whole thing in, you know, a few days and just rip through the whole series. But
all right, we're going to finish talking about this show because, and you're allowed to hang out because
thank you.
You seem like a nice person.
Okay. Turk is a boob, man. This is for real, for real. Because he's watching his wife breathe in and out and looking at them boobs.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you best be nice to my cousin. What was the cousin's name?
I don't remember.
Umfima, something like that. You best be nice to my cousin Umfima.
Yeah.
That had me rolling.
Now, she turns into a sort of a bridezilla.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
She goes crazy over this wedding. Your wedding, which was thrown magically in my backyard, did the last couple of weeks, did Casey turn into a bridezilla?
No, she never really turned into a bridezilla. We had a wedding planner who helped out with everything.
Mm.
And so stress levels were really low in our wedding planning and planning our wedding. Like, but yeah, Casey's not that type of person also.
Mm. Well, I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to their partner going a little batty before the wedding. It's a lot of pressure. What if there's
but I don't get that. I get that it's supposed to be this party that you only get once a day, but why do people go crazy like that? Like, why does it got to be?
Joelle?
Go ahead, Joelle.
Everyone's raising their hands today. Yes, I call him Joelle.
Thank you, Zach. For many years, this was the only day women could look forward to. The only thing you were allowed to do in life was get married. If you were lucky, you had some say in your partner. But everybody knows that's the bride's day. So if you didn't get to choose your partner, at least you got to choose the party, like the whole dream dress thing. So like, I think the closer it gets to the day, a lot of women are like, well, it's got to be my perfect magical day that I've thought about for 22 to 65 years. I want to get it right. And I think it's just the pressure and stress of it that makes some ladies and, you know, guys too, go a little over the top.
Do you have a wedding journal, Joelle, already?
Oh, God, no.
Joelle,
right. That was the weirdest thing. I don't want to wear white. That's all.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard of in my life. It's like a wedding journal. Well, how long have you had your wedding journal for? Since I was 8. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Really? You've been thinking about getting married since you were 8 years old?
Women grow up with these princess, you know, fantasy tales, and they long for their princess moment where they are in the gown and everyone's looking at how beautiful they are, and they get to perfectly curate this one day. And I guess there's a lot of pressure for it to be perfect.
But since you were 8?
Yes, and younger, Donald. You know, it starts, Barbie has a dream wedding gown like every year.
I wonder if my daughter's right thinking here. Like that right now. I wonder if my 5-year-old daughter's like, and when I
let's
get
ask
married,
her. Go ask her.
Get out of here, man. I don't want to find out. I don't want to know if she's thinking that shit. Get out of here, man.
All right. I just thought we could do a survey of.
You want to find out? Let's find out. She just got out of school. Let's find out.
All right. Let's ask her. You know, we try and always go to the experts in every different area. Why not go to a young girl and ask her if she's thought at all about her wedding?
I really want to know. I feel like I would have had very clear ideas about how I wanted to be married at 5. Because what else did I have time to think about, you know?
Right. Well, Barbie helps put it in your mind, right? Barbie,
yes.
That whole doll world and the dresses and
absolutely
and trying to look good for Ken.
Every rom-com I watched with my mom, all Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, really did a number.
Okay, you gotta be a big girl and listen, okay?
Hi, darling. How you doing?
Ask you some questions. Sit down.
Hi, Wilder.
Good.
Daddy's gonna ask you a question. Go ahead, Daddy.
He can't hear you. Wilder, do you ever think about, like, your wedding?
Get close to the mic so they can hear you. Okay, ask Zach.
Wilder, we're wondering if little kids ever think about their weddings. Have you ever thought yet about when you're older and you get married? Have you ever thought about the wedding?
No.
Good girl.
Do you ever think about the dress that you might wear one day at your wedding?
Yes.
Okay, tell us about the dress that you might wear at your wedding. Hmm. What does it look like?
It's white.
Okay, yes.
It's just white.
You don't know, you think your wedding dress is going to be white? Why is your wedding dress going to be white, sweetie?
It's because that's what mommy's dress looked like.
Yeah.
Because mommy's dress was white.
Do you want to wear mommy's dress, the same dress?
Yes.
Oh.
That's so sweet.
Donald, that's so sweet.
Don't laugh at us, Wilder.
Wilder, sorry. All right, Wilder, so thank sweet. You. Successfully
thank
answered
you, thank you, Wilder. Thank you, Wilder. You.
Tell Daddy to give you $5. No. You got to give her a payment for being on the podcast.
I will get $1,000.
$1,000?
Yeah.
All right.
Just
thinking. All right, good negotiating.
You hear good her negotiating. Laugh. It's killing me. Yeah.
Give that girl $1,000.
Give it.
Okay, yeah, no. Okay, fine, whatever. I love you, babe. Bye. No, you're done.
No.
No, you can't walk out.
Did
with
she walk away with the headphones?
Oh, no. All right, so there you have it. Little girls do think about their wedding style. She's already noticed she's going to wear Casey's dress.
No, she only said that because you freaking coaxed her into saying that.
I didn't coax her. I asked very. I didn't lead the questions, as they say.
Yeah, you did. You asked her, do you think about your wedding? And she said no. Then you said, do you think about your dress? And she was like, it's going to be white. Do you know what color your dress is going to be? She said, it's going to be white. And then you asked her why. She said, because my mommy's dress was white. That's not her thinking about her wedding. That's her just remembering, oh, my mom has a white dress.
So you're saying that I was leading the witness.
There's no way that she knows what she wants to get married in or anything like that, man. That's my point.
She knows
point.
She wants a white fucking dress, ass lips.
Because her mom wore one, dick face.
I don't like you anymore.
You know, your face is shaped like a dick, okay?
You know, your lips are shaped like two anuses exploded.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really?
You know, you did this to us, Craig.
I know. I'm sorry.
Craig, wasn't my intention. Yo, Todd getting kicked out of the OR. Did you laugh?
Yeah, that was funny. But I also laughed at me calling Sean a full-lipped bastard. Because the janitor said something like, you can't compete with that guy. Look at his full lips. And then he comes over like a full-lipped bastard. You don't want Scott Foley being the other man in your relation, in your love triangle.
This also made me laugh. Why are you still here? The hospital doesn't sell cigarettes.
What about when JD says to Danny, like, do you want to have sex? And she's like, fine.
Right.
Don't talk. They hate each other.
They hate each other. What's great is that she nails it, though. JD wants what he can't have. That's always been his thing.
I know, but it's so evil that fucking Elliot changes her whole life for him, and she gets there and, like, cuddles up to him, and he's like, oh, no.
What have I done?
What have I done?
Does the relationship end once again by the end of the season? In
I
the
think
next
so.
Couple
it
of
must.
Episodes?
There must be a big fallout at your wedding coming up. I don't
Something
know.
Something like that, right?
I don't know. I think we did it. Yeah, it's an hour and a half. We've given you an hour and a half of arguing and hopefully a few laughs. We love you all.
We want to thank Craig Jenkins for
Craig
coming
Jenkins.
On the show.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you guys so much for putting this together. It's been such a ray of sunshine during a time when we all really need it.
Thank you, Craig.
Yeah,
we love hearing that. We love to attempt to take people's minds off things for 90 minutes or so. Follow Joelle on the social medias. Joelle, tell them your handle.
I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. That's JoelleMoniqueE.
And Danil?
I love the rhythm of that. You can follow me on Twitter and at Twitch at DJ_Danil, DANL.
And follow Donald Faison because he still wants more followers.
Dude, this is ridiculous, man. Y'all said y'all had my back. And guess what? I know some of you did, but some of you don't. Some of you are hating. Don't hate.
Now, it's easy to remember Donald's handle because it's Donald Faison, but instead of the F, he was drunk, so it's an underscore.
Donald Faison.
You know that's not a live sentence, right? Your Instagram handle is not a live sentence. You can change
it. I'm never going to change. Nah. I did it.
Listen,
guys.
I'm
for you. Stand by.
If you're having trouble finding Donald Faison, the F has been replaced by an underscore because he was drunk when he made it.
And that's when you get what you get and you don't get upset. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about